Have a seat, and good to see you all. Good morning. You may want to fill up your cup of coffee. For Mother's Day, we decided that we would be a cool church, so we left the heat off. Actually, we didn't all, but I'm Greg Meyer, pastor of Jacob's Well, and it's great to have you all here today, and I can see you're more interested in talking to each other than listening to me, which is nothing new, but I'm going to keep going anyway, and I'm louder, so sooner or later. Some people are coming around and passing out packages of M&Ms. Hey, Jeanette, can you throw one to me? Which means well. That's great. Thanks a lot. So I hope you get your M&Ms. If you didn't, wave your arms or something. Someone will come around with some for you. It's great to be here. We are doing a little bit of celebrating. So if the people who I don't help with the set up and the tear down, like anyone is welcome to do it, and anyone's welcome to stay around at the end and kind of help us tear down a little bit for a few minutes if you want. Hint, hint. But pretty much as people do 1 week out of the month, and so this is the second Sunday of May, and we were celebrating this group, and there they are, those wonderful people who were here early and working, and it's not just this, as Tim was saying, like, I don't know, this week, last week, there were 80-some people in the rest of the building doing children's ministries, adults and kids and stuff like that. And having to convert those rooms as well. So there's a lot of great stuff. And come on, it's fun, isn't it? I mean, it's work, but we have fun, don't we?
Yeah,
it is. It really is. I've been doing it for 6 years, and it's a highlight of my week. It is. No, it is good. But anyway, so we want to dive into something. If you can pull out your outlines, the backside of your Sunday paper, there's an outline. I invite you to follow along on that. But we're doing something kind of special for this week and next week. We're going to be talking about these ways that we serve in the world, and it's really kind of, I think, fits with what we were just experiencing with all the people that helped to set up and tear down and so on. So we are going to be talking about something that I have been referring to for a long time as our M&Ms, thus the M&M packages you just got, okay? And yes, you can eat those, right? Yeah, that is permitted. Some of you are familiar with this M&M idea already. Some of you might kind of like be a vague recollection there. Yeah, I think I heard something about that. Some of you might just be glad you got some chocolate. That's all okay. I'm hoping that this is something that we're all going to be very familiar with as Jacob's Well continues to grow forward. Because this is a really essential piece of what it means for us to be church. Along with us gathering as a community like we do on Sundays, and as well as being part of group life, this place where we can take our growth in faith to that friend level where it really gets some traction, and then also discovering how we pursued ourselves personally, individually, through reading the Bible and prayer and things like that with God, there's another component to it. There's another component to what it means to grow in faith that is absolutely essential. And it's all about taking who we are and applying it to what God is about. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week and next week. But it's about taking who we are and applying it to what God is about. Let me be very simplistic and say this is what God is about. God is doing two things. God is building a church, and God is loving the world. And those two are inextricably intertwined. God is building a church, and God is loving the world. This week and next is looking at who we are and how we are part of all of that. And it's really the essential stuff. And it starts with who we are and who you are, who I am. And there is a fundamental concept behind this, which I don't think is too hard for us to wrap our heads around, and you're going to find this on your outline, is that you are uniquely shaped to make a contribution. This is the foundational idea behind everything about being church and about this M&M that we're going to be talking about, is that you are uniquely shaped to make a contribution. Now, it's not hard to find lots of things in the Bible that point on this, but I mean, I think it just makes sense. Sure, in the world, we get our living. We're able to be alive because the world is here and it contributes to us, right? But I think it's pretty easy, whether you want to look at it biologically, whether you want to look at it sociologically or psychologically, if we aren't able to contribute, if we aren't giving something back, if we aren't making a difference in the world around us, it doesn't take long for us to lose that grounding, lose that meaning. People lose hope quickly when they don't feel like they're giving something, and life just becomes very, very difficult for them. So this idea that if we can't make a contribution, we begin to wither, it's just essential. And it's an underpinning idea behind this M&M concept. So you're M&Ms, all right? You got any left? Some of you, all right? If you got any left, take two and put them in your hand next to each other. Then we're going to sort ourselves out according to the colors. No, just kidding. That'd be way too much work. No. So you got your M&M, right? The first one, this M stands for your ministry within the church, okay? Got that. First one is your ministry in the church. You can write that on your outline, and you can eat that M&M. I love this part of the message. It's my favorite part. I got to come up with an M&M sometime. The second one, this is your mission beyond the church, okay? So we have, you're going to eat that one now. So you got your mission within the ministry within the church and your mission beyond the church. This week we're focusing on the first of that, this idea that each of us should have a ministry within the church. Ephesians chapter 4 talks a lot about what the body of Christ, what the church should be about, and it says this. It says the gifts that Christ gave, notice Christ gives us gifts. Christ, God equips us as human beings, individually, as wonderful human beings in this world. The gifts Christ gave were to equip the saints, that is, the people who see themselves as called out by God, right? Doesn't mean perfect people, doesn't mean dead people. Thank heavens. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is another way of saying the church. Christ, the gifts that God gives are to equip us all for the work of ministry so that we can build up the church. Now, why the church? Some people say, in fact, a lot of you say, I hate organized religion. In fact, that's the reason you're here, is that you didn't like organized religion. And so Jacob's Well was the option. We're disorganized religion. In fact, I would really say we are. I mean, hopefully we can escape that religion thing altogether and we can be an experience of faith and that sort of thing. But we did this last year. We talked about 10 different groups of people and said, what is the most meaningful thing to you about Jacob's Well? And every group we talked to came up with, the key word that they came up with was messy. Jacob's Well is messy. By that, they don't actually mean disorganized or, you know, like non-functional. They mean, well, we're willing to be vulnerable. We don't settle for easy answers. We realize that things aren't done yet and we don't know exactly what they should look like. And, you know, things can still happen here. And that's exciting. That messiness that we all want to have. Those are important. So when I say church, and this is not just true now, but this is always true, okay? So get this. When I talk about church, I am not talking about the institution. I am not talking about buildings. I am not talking about an hour on Sunday morning. I am not talking about a place or a denomination. When I talk about church, I am talking about us. I mean, church is people. In fact, you'll find on your outline, there's a little like a box on the side, and it says church. What is it? Church is a movement. It isn't a place. It's not an institution. Church is a movement. It's people being church by seeing themselves as part of the same community carrying out God's work in the world. That's what the church is. It's people realizing that God's called me to carry out this work in the world, but I don't just do it by myself, just somewhere, but we see ourselves as part of, you know, kind of organized in groups, in communities. And that's the local church. Jacob's Well would be an example of that. Nothing sacred about Jacob's Well. We could all go find other communities. That's fine. But God works by pulling us together so that we can work together and share a vision, share a mission, and work on these things together. The church is this lens through which the world is seen as God sees the world. The church is unique in that way. The church is invaluable that way. I don't know that there's any other institution that is as directly able to be God's way of working in the world as the church. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but that's what our goal is to be that way and to work that way together. There's nothing else like it on the planet. So this M&M number one, that ministry within the church. You can pull out another one and eat it if you didn't finish it. So ministry within the church. Some of you are saying, okay, but Greg, you lost me from the very beginning because this word ministry, I've heard that, but what does that mean? Ministry, I'm going to give you a really technical definition you may want to write down. Ministry means help. Okay? Did you get that? When you help, you are ministering. In fact, that's literally what it means. Service would be another translation. When you find, if you look through different translations of the Bible, when you find the word ministry in one translation, in another one you might find the word service. To serve someone is to minister to them, to help someone. That's all it is. Our ministry is to do those things. Ministry is what everyone does. It is what the setup crew did today. It is what the group life host and leader did this last week. It's what the band was doing. At least most of them. Yeah, mostly. Yeah, I think that's a little optimistic, but yeah. It's what the person who handed out the M&Ms to you was just doing. You can tell by that some ministries are more important than others. Yeah. It is what some of you did when you were taking meals or visiting Jay and Diane when they're recovering from their transplant surgery. I mean, all these things. It's the people that are working with H2O and doing Kingdom Rock are doing right now. There's a million things that happens at a different levels. It's a, you know, the people that, you know, produced your Sunday paper for you. All these are ministries. All of them play different roles in making the whole thing work. You are all ministers, all right? In fact, turn to the person next to you and shake their hand and say, "Hi, you're a minister." Hi, you're a minister. Hi, you're a minister too, Tab. Now, that does not qualify you for any special IRS deductions. But it is a pretty important thing, and it is our identity. And along with this recognition that we are all ministers is something that we need to recognize about this community, and that is that the ministry of Jacob's Well doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to staff, it belongs to you. The ministry of Jacob's Well belongs to the people who are Jacob's Well. It's something we all share. It's something that we do together so that God's love, so that God's work, what God is doing in this world, can be magnified and could be seen better.
Let's sing a song about that. Hey, go ahead and stand up, because I'm afraid some of us have hypothermia. So... This is what this song is about. It's about doing God's work in the world and God being magnified. So we'll sing it together.
Have a seat again. Thanks, Justin. A great example of taking a gift and using it. That's a song Justin wrote this last year, actually, for us. And I actually know him talk about, you know, putting your gifts to work. Justin and a group of people are putting an album together right now.
Yeah.
That's what we used to call them back when I was a kid, albums.
No, I thought we were, we called it a record.
Record.
We're not making records.
Records.
You know, we're not printing vinyl.
No, that's too bad, but... and actually they've got a little Kickstarter trying to raise enough money to get it all done, and it's really then to give it out free as a resource for churches and all kinds of people. So if anybody wants to kick in a little bit on that Kickstarter and support his ministry, just go to find out Jacob's Well on Facebook and you can do that. It'd be great to make that happen. So what I want to do now is take some time and talk about your ministry in the church, right? To kind of hopefully get this idea about this MM, ministry in the church, a mission beyond the church. What is this? What is your ministry in the church? And sorry, I don't have more M&Ms to pass out. If they're extras, you can have them. But I want to begin by giving a very maybe crazy and audacious, or making a very crazy and audacious claim. And that is that your involvement at Jacob's Well is the most important thing that you're doing with your life. Or if you're part of another church community, your involvement there is the most important thing that you are doing with your life. Now, some of you are saying, seriously? And I, yeah, seriously. Well, what about my career? What about my family? No, yeah, it's actually more important than that. Now, I have to back up a little bit and help you understand what that means. It isn't that church, Jacob's Well, is important and your family or career aren't. No. It doesn't mean you're supposed to spend more time or work harder with Jacob's well than you do with those things. No. It just means that where God begins working in the world is through us together having this consciousness that God has called us together and give us value and give us purpose. And then we take that out into the world and begin to change the world. We try to realize this kingdom of God that Jesus died for, that God wants nothing more to let us know is here so that we can be loved through it and our world can be realized through it. And one of the reasons why that seems like crazy, like why would I do that? Because churches are so screwed up and so incomplete. Well, that's what we have to talk about. I mean, I it's easy for me or for any of us to just point at a million churches and say, are you serious? I mean, you'd say that institution is the most important place to be involved? Well, no, it isn't about institutions, isn't it? In fact, we'd probably have a hard time finding any church, any actual example of it that actually lives up to this claim that this can be the place where God fundamentally and first and foremost begins to touch the world and touch our lives and make us healthy so that we can have careers, so that we can have family. But you know, one of the main reasons why the church is like that, why the church isn't able to live up to that, isn't because the church fundamentally is flawed, it's because of us. It's because that we aren't taking how we are shaped uniquely in this world to make a contribution and bringing it to the church to make the church be what it is. See, we are the church. The ministry of the church is ours. And when that unique piece that you represent irreplaceably isn't here, isn't in whatever church it is, there is something missing, and that church is not whole. That church is not able to be what it is. Maybe your job is just to ask the right questions to get it off of its institutional stuckness, to get it out of its place where it's about itself and maybe taking the movement it was supposed to be about and using it, co-opting it to make its institution perpetuate. Maybe you're the truth teller. Maybe you're the one that's supposed to bring that new ministry. Maybe you're the one. I mean, all of these pieces are so essential. And when we aren't doing it, the church cannot be what God has called us to be. We are all ministers. You know, so saying that Jacob's well, and I'm going to make this audacious claim, Jacob's well is the most important thing that you are doing with your lives, doesn't mean that we're supposed to have tons of money. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be really big. It doesn't mean we should have a really nice building. No, it doesn't mean any of those things. In fact, those have nothing to do with it. We've decided here that Jacob's well was to be about people, not a place, right? We're building this church not with bricks and mortars, but with the flesh and blood of living people. We said that Jacob's well, we gather on Sunday mornings, but where is Jacob's well really at work? Where is Jacob's well really alive? When it's spread out into the world all week long. All right, we come together to celebrate the center, to remember who we are, to get fed and to go out and to be Jacob's well all week long. That's Jacob's well. And that's what that's all about. So how do we begin to understand it? How do we do that? Well, a couple of things to know, too. One is that you don't just have one ministry. Most of us probably have a lot. Some of the ministries we simply take part in, we help out, and some ministries we lead. You know, you can't have too many, you can't have too few. That's not the issue. Some people do too much. Some people start burning out on it. Some people need a sabbatical. Some people need to back up. That's okay, all right? It shouldn't be preoccupying your life. It should fit in with your life. But there's a couple of things about this that I want us to follow through, and you'll find it on your outline. You can follow along on this. And the first thing about your ministry is that it fits you, all right? Your ministry should fit you. Before I said that you are uniquely shaped to make a contribution. Now, that word shape, we use this quite a bit, and I don't want to go into it a whole lot, but that shape is actually an acronym that we pull out sometimes. It stands for this. The S in shape is your spiritual gifts. I'll come back to that. H is your heart. That is your passion, the things that you're really just turned on about. A stands for your abilities, your talents, your skills. P is your personality. E is your experiences. Now, that spiritual gifts really then is, I'm not a person that believes that, you know, when you decide that you believe in Jesus or something, all of a sudden you get zapped and you have some special spiritual gift. There are people who think that's how it works. How I see it is that you take your heart, your passion, your abilities, your personality, your experience, and all things shape, and you realize, how do I use those together to make a contribution to God's work in the world? And that is what you decide. That's my spiritual gift. This is the gift that I'm giving back to God. It's something, how I see living out who I am in the world for God's sake. So those things work together. The point isn't to be talking about what those individually represent, but just to give you an idea that your ministry fitting you, that you is a very expansive, a very a full sense of who you are as a person. And it's always changing because your personality, your experiences are always changing. Your abilities develop and they come and they go. Your passions too. You have different passions at different parts of your life. God always recognizes all that. We need to recognize all that together and let them work in concert with each other to decide what we bring to the church and how that all works. In Jeremiah, God is talking to Jeremiah as he's being called in a prophet. This is hundreds of years before the time of Jesus. And he hears God, understands God to say, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I had set you apart." Now, this isn't an argument, you know, against abortion or something like this. You know, don't take this literally. This is talking about God knows that we have been called, that we've been shaped, that we've been that we have gifts that are meant to call us, to set us apart, to give us jobs and roles in the world around us, in the church among us. If you want to pull out your communication cards, what I'd like you to do is, and in fact, if you didn't get a communication card, there are some extra ones. In fact, if you're sitting on the center aisle, just pull out, you know, can leave the offering basket there. Just pull out the communication cards and pass them on down. Anybody who didn't have one can get one. Put your name on it if you didn't already. And on the back someplace, you can leave room for prayers and things. But what I'd like you all to do is to make a list of all the ministries that you could imagine yourself doing. Okay? If you look at your Sunday paper on the back side, going all the way down it, there's this long, long list of all kinds of ministries. All right? Now, this isn't our list of ministries we need you to fill. This is just like, wow, just like all the crazy things you could do. Right? And chances are the best ministries that you have aren't on this list. There's something none of us have even ever thought about before. All right? So what I'd like you to do is take, you know, just throughout the rest of the service, as something pops in your head and say, "Hey, I like this. I can do this." Just write it on this card. If it's just something that you already do, you're already doing for Jacob's Well, put a star by it. If it's a new thing you're just thinking about, just write it there without the star, a little asterisk, okay? So things you're already doing, put an asterisk by. Now, don't worry. You're not committing yourself up. You didn't just sign up for something when you did that, right? We will expect to be inspired by seeing what you guys came up with, all right? So this is like fodder for us. We are going to pay attention to this, but and in many cases, we'll probably follow up and say, "What were you thinking? You know, is there something that we could do to help you or whatever?" But believe me, we're just brainstorming. This is for you, not for us. So have fun with that. Later on, when we pass offering, those can just go in the offering baskets, or you can give them to us after the service, whatever. But your part of the church should be flowing from you. You don't have to force yourself. It should fit you. It should be something that you're just dying to do. It's going to unleash you when you do this. Chris, my wife and I discovered this when we were in Papua New Guinea. After I graduated from seminary, I had lived and done research in Papua New Guinea when I was younger. Chris had lived overseas. This was just like great. And we kind of got recruited to go back to Papua New Guinea, which is a third world country, between the equator and Australia, to work with the local church there. And when they asked, you know, "Where do you want to go?" we said, "Well, where's the furthest place out in the bush they could put us?" And I remember he looking at me kind of funny. He says, "Well, there's this place called Marowaka." And we said, "What's it like?" And they described it. He said, "We'll go." And so after we came back our first time, 3 years later, we came back. And we started telling, you know, about what we're doing to people. And people just said, "You are so brave to go there. Thank you so much for doing this. I just can't believe you're willing to do it." And Chris and I are kind of looking at each other like, "What? What do you mean, brave?" Like, honestly, this is what we thought. We thought we beat everyone else to the punch. We thought everyone in the world wanted to go to this fly-in station up in the mountains, you know, in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, where there was no electricity, no running water, no other people that spoke English within a 3-day walk. We thought this was like the greatest chance in the world to live in a National Geographic magazine. What we discovered was that we were actually the only ones willing to do it. But that was it, because we were shaped to want to do that. We loved every minute of it. Well, at least as much as you can love every minute of anything, you know? It was probably the most fantastic part of our lives. But it fit us, and we wanted to do it. It was fantastic. And I think we all have parts of our lives like that and that we resonate with and that we are wanting to do it. We feel called to do these sorts of things. There's something, a voice within us. Sometimes we hear ideas and we resonate to them. We go to it. We call that answering a calling that you hear. And, you know, it's an important thing for us to do. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to risk to do these things. We had to risk. We had to give up other things. There were options and things that we couldn't do because we decided to spend those years there. It took some effort. We came back 5 years later, like financially way behind our peers because we had done that. We have this cultural gap from those years that still exists. And some of you think, yeah, we've noticed. You know, and that's how it works. But it's always that way. When you go after something that you feel called to, well, you leave some other things behind. And that's simply the way it is. It's also true that that these ministries, and this is on your outlines too, is that these ministries we have, some of them are pretty invisible. Like, you know, a lot of you probably don't even ever think about the fact that some people set up these curtains here. It's totally invisible to us all. But that doesn't mean it was insignificant. There are ministries that we do, there are ways that we serve that are invisible, but they are never insignificant. They all make a difference. They're part of the larger impact. We have no idea when what we're doing is really, really important, or it's in an obvious way, or it's very, very important in a maybe a more intrinsic and way that is never seen, that you never get credit for. And that shouldn't be what makes a difference. And then there's also one aspect, probably one little caveat to this idea about a ministry that fits you, is there's also just the stuff that we've got to do. You know, I've never known anyone who had a special gift for washing dishes. I've only met a few people who have a special gift for emptying the trailer. But sometimes we just do stuff that we have to do. I remember one time when I was a kid and I was upstairs playing with my brother, and my mom yelled my name and said, called me to empty the dishwasher. And my brother said, I think you're getting a call right now. Yeah, well, anyway, so some of you get calls for things you have to do from our setup person, too, once in a while. Tim, maybe, you know, gives you a phone call and asks you to do something. Actually, we don't make many calls for those sorts of things anymore. You don't get calls like that. You get texts and emails instead. Okay, so another thing about these, about your ministry, is that it is for God's purposes, not yours. Now, those aren't mutually exclusive, but it's about what God has got going in this world, not you. There's this verse from 1 Peter. Each person should use whatever gift he or she has to make a lot of money. No, that isn't how it works. Each person should use whatever gift he or she has in order to what? To serve others. That's what it's all about. It's to contribute to others. It isn't to make things work the way you like them. It's to serve other people. If you are serving, if you're expending your time and energy, maybe your money to make anything, and particularly your church, more like you want it to be, more to fit your preferences, then you're not doing a service to your church, you're doing a disservice to your church. This is God's church, not yours. You will destroy it if you make this church be exactly what you want it to be. I'll destroy it if I make it exactly what I want it to be. All right? If we really want this church to be meaningful to what we want, we need to let go of it and let God decide what needs to happen here. And we need to follow that and help realize the church's vision for what this church is all about. That's an important thing. So to be remembering that this is about God's purposes, not our own. Also, our gifts is, we have to realize that we use our gifts in order to complete the church. Your gifts, your ministry completes the church. That means if you aren't serving, if you have ministries, if you have things that you know you can do really well and you're not doing them, then there is something missing here. There is something incomplete about this place. 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing, he says, there are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability for all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. Together we make it happen. I was talking about that a little bit earlier. Jacob's Well, any church is always under construction. It's never done. We're always bringing, just figuring out how we can contribute to it and how we can make it the whole thing that it is. Here we talk about being a church that is mostly made up of people who aren't here yet. We do that, we talk that way for two reasons. One is to remind us to be outwardly focused instead of inwardly focused, so that we're here for those people that, you know, haven't found us yet, just like we were here for you before you came here, and we welcomed you and we're focused on you. But we also say that we are a church made up mostly of people who aren't here yet because it's just plain true. There are vast expanses of who we can be that will never be until those other people are here. Those people that God has called because they can bring something to who we are that we don't even know exists yet. It hasn't even crossed our mind that we would try to do these things yet. And God is going to bring those people to help us to realize what those are all about. Sometimes what we bring fills in gaps. Sometimes it adds on to the edges. It really doesn't matter. And that may sound a little chaotic. You mean, well, gee, you know, people just decide they're going to do this. This person decides they're going to do that. And you know what? That doesn't sound like any kind of organization at all. It just sounds chaotic. No, it doesn't sound chaotic. It sounds organic. It means that God is working in us, calling us. God's equipped us with gifts so that we bring them and they can work together in a way that is bigger than any of our visions for the church, just the way we would set it up, the way we would prescribe it all to be. And this is a fill-in on your sheet. So if you've got ideas about what you would do, isn't for me to decide you should do it or not, all right? But the vision of our church, the vision of Jacob's Well, should lead you, should call you out and help you decide that this is something that you can bring, that you can contribute. But you lead your ministry. So the vision of the church, the vision of Jacob's Well, leads you, but you lead your ministry. In fact, that's a common thing, is that someone comes and says, we think Jacob's Well should do this. And they usually say it to me or some other staff person, and almost every time we'll respond by saying, that's a really good idea. You should do it. Remember, it's our ministry, not just the staff. So that's a big thing to do. And along with that is this little note, and this is really important. If a ministry doesn't have a leader, we don't do it. Every ministry that we take on needs a leader of some sort. You may not be the leader for the ministry that you're envisioning, but then we need to find the leader for that. If we don't have it, we don't do it. This is a rule that we sometimes break, and every time we break it, we regret it. So it's one that's really important to us. Another thing, your ministry, it gives you fulfillment. It gives you fulfillment. It isn't just about you lending a hand. It isn't just about you getting the work of this business done, okay? No, it isn't at all. Your life, your growth, your fulfillment as a person is so interwoven with what it means to be part of this community of God that when you start using who you are here, when you start using who you are anywhere in the world, it starts fulfilling you. It starts making you realize that what you're all about is important. After food and water and shelter, there's little more important than the relationships and the meaning that we derive in life. And that's something that we get as we begin to work with God in these things. In Psalm 139, we have this wonderful vision that says, where the psalmist is writing and says, I praise you, God, because you made me in an amazing and a wonderful way. Each one of us is so complex. We have these wonderful things about us. And when we don't put all those amazing, wonderful things about ourselves off on the side and then just go do what we got to do, we find that life is really, really pretty sweet. Life is good. Church, again, right? Not institution. Church, us coming together as the people of God, trying to be God's work and God's love in the world, this is a place where we can be who we were called to be. This is a place where you can express that amazing, that wonderful sense of who you are, not by filling a peg hole that someone else created, but by finding out how you are called and what you can bring to this church, to this living movement that is among us. So this is a big one for us to realize and to enjoy the fact that you do this, all right? Your ministry should be something that's fun for you. It should be enjoying. It's something that you enjoy. It's something that you at least, you feel you get as much out of it as you give through it. One of the ways that I really experienced this is as a sailor. I discovered somewhere in my life that sailing is just plain magic for me. I just can't sail enough. I can't even really tell you why. But it's this huge passion about working with wind and water. And you don't get me started, okay? So some years ago, I started a ministry with this. And I was taking over 100 people out on sailing trips out on Lake Superior every summer. And we're doing that at Jacob's Well. In fact, we'll have probably two trips going out this summer if any of you guys are going to be interested in going along with us. Nice big boats, don't worry. Lots of fun. But one of the things I discovered was that this passion, the stuff that I really, really loved to do, that I felt really fulfilled by, that I could share with other people. And the other thing I discovered about is that what I really, really enjoy, even more than just sailing, is introducing new people to sailing. and watching them come alive as they discovered what wind and water could do, and the freedom and the different experience that is so different than the rest of our world when they got sent. I told you, don't get me started. But sharing that with other people is even more special to me than just doing it by myself. So that's a big thing. Your ministry is going to give you fulfillment too. You'll be amazed at what you maybe could do here, what you could do with the people and with the world through Jacob's Well. The last thing is this. And this is a biggie. You've heard me talk about this before, and I think it's one of the things we have to bring up a lot, because this is really, really key to us as church. And that is that your ministry, it's going to bring meaning and healing to your pain. Meaning and healing to the hurts that are there in your life. Let me just read you this. This is Paul who's writing. He was the guy who spread the message of Jesus and started these churches all over that part of the world shortly after the time of Jesus. And he said this: God told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, Paul reflects, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. 3 weeks ago, Brad Hoffbauer was here. He was recruiting people to run the Twin Cities Marathon and provide water for kids in Africa. 20-some of you are going to be running the marathon with him. But I remember when he was talking, he talked about the fact that he and his wife had had a miscarriage in that part of that story. And I think there's a lot of people here I know who are really, really listening at that time, because you've had that experience. And I think he ministered to a lot of people that day because he shared that experience. I could not have shared that experience. Chris and I were fortunate enough to have five pregnancies and four children. That's bad math. Four pregnancies and four children. But he has had that experience. And his willingness to share that hurt and that pain is one of the things that helps him have meaning and healing in his own life and dealing with that. And hopefully that's true for some of you. For some of you, it's the divorce you went through. It's maybe the grief you've experienced. Maybe it's your experience with recovery. And your ability to share that is going to be how you're going to be able to change other people's lives. Here's the key on this. Your most powerful ministry is going to come out of your deepest hurt, not your greatest strength. That's what we're tempted to think. We think that the most important thing, the most powerful thing that I'm ever going to do is going to come out of this great talent, this great strength that I have. That will probably be an important thing that you do. It'll be a good thing. But I guarantee you, your most powerful ministry is going to come out of your deepest hurt. Because that's a place you can connect with some people. In places that change their lives, where people are desperately hurting and looking for hope, and you have the ability to touch them in that place. If we learn anything from Jesus' resurrection, I think one of the things that we see is this glimpse into how God put the world together, how God wove some things about existence into the fabric of life that are not apparent to us all the time, but are unbelievably true. And the truth that is underneath this is that the brokenness of this world is healed by the brokenness of this world. When we take that and accept what has happened in our lives and where we are hurting, we're willing to embrace it, we're willing to live that and offer it to someone else, we not only help them, but then that starts to work in us as well. We start to find some meaning, we start to find some healing in that for ourselves. The brokenness of this world heals the brokenness of this world. And the last word is always life. And this doesn't mean that God wanted you to have those bad experiences. This doesn't mean that it makes it worthwhile. It doesn't. I've had some of those experiences in my life. In fact, if I have any ability to really sit down and listen to people or to be really patient with people, it is only because I had a couple of really, really hard times in my life. I don't know if I ever could have learned some of those skills had I not been through those. Those are all experiences that if I had the chance, I would remove them from my history because they were painful. I didn't want them. I would take them away now. I can't. I'm thankful to God that God says, those experiences weren't worth it. They're not. I wish you wouldn't have had to have them, but I'm not going to waste them. I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them to bring life to other people. And as you bring life to other people through what you learn, through your pain, through your hurt, you're going to find healing and you're going to find meaning as well. You're going to find hope for tomorrow. That's how this world works. So just as a last thought, some of you are sitting there thinking, you know, Greg, you lost me at the beginning because we thought the ministry of this church was your job. That's what we pay you for, you and the staff, all right? It's your job. The short answer to that is no. The longer answer is it can't be. I've been called here for some particular reasons, and they tend to be the more visible ones, not necessarily the most significant ones. I feel like my calling, my gifts, my ministry here is around visioning. It's around leadership development. It's around preaching and teaching. I have a lot of skill and experience around that, I hope, and I try to use that. But I can't do everything. In fact, the ministries that all of you represent are things that I can't do. I shouldn't even try to do because I can't do them as well as you. It's ours. So discover what your ministries are. Many of you are doing it. I'm so proud of all the things that you're doing already. And that's fantastic. Keep doing those things. But discover more. Write them on your card. Put it in the basket. You know, if you're not sure, well, how do you figure this out? Talk to people who know you. Ask them, what can I do? What do you see God using in my life? Sometimes they're things, sometimes they're simply ways of being. This is a great conversation to have in your group life groups because those people know you and they understand this what God is doing in the world, and they're going to help you draw those connections. And then just try them out. Try to do some of this stuff. You know, just go visit something, see what it's like so you have a better impression of whether this is something you could tie into or something that you could offer. And then when you're going to do it, I always tell people, make a commitment. Do it for a year. Do it for a year. That's how long it takes to really figure out if something's working or not. If you know it's not working before that, fine, quit. Try something else. That's okay. Discover what you're about. Give it a shot. Be committed about it. Realize it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some discipline. For putting God's church together so that we can go out in the world and change lives is worth it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us a world that can have hope. We thank you for giving us a world that is full of dead ends and pain and sorrow, but all of them through some strange ways that your economy has created this world somehow lead back to life and lead back to hope. We thank you for making us part of that. I thank you for every person here. Help us to realize who we can be for this community and out in the world so that we can fill in the holes and add on to the edges and make Jacob's Well be what you imagined, not what we imagined. Help us to be out of control. Help us to grow in ways we never would have expected and to be able to sit back and look at it and say, wow, that's amazing. Only you could have done that. So move us all now. Help us to realize this. Let us take risks. Let us be the people in the church that you've called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.